I'm going to preach to you a little different message today. I'll be using for my text Psalm 49. Psalm 49. This is an interesting psalm. And here's the title. Now listen to the title. Shall I die like a dog or a man? Now you may think that's a strange title for a message, and I suppose it is. Shall I die like a dog or a man? But that's exactly what David is saying in Psalm 49:20. I want to go to the last verse in Psalm 49 and read it. This is the last verse. Now look at it, Psalm 49:20. A man that is in honor and understands not is like the beasts that perish. What's he saying? Now let me paraphrase it. In other words, David is saying, under divine inspiration, he's writing, God breathed, the Lord speaking through him. David is saying, a man or a woman who is held in great worldly honor, great esteem, high position, riches and wisdom in this world, and yet does not understand the true wisdom of God, who does not understand the honor that comes from God, who does not understand true riches in Christ Jesus. He is no more than the dog that dies on the highway, or the beast that perishes in the field. There's no difference. No difference. What is this understanding? Now listen to John, 1 John 5:20. Now listen, this is so critical. John says, and we know that the Son of God has come and given us an understanding. David said, a man that is in great wealth and honor and does not understand is like a beast that perishes. That does not understand. Where do you get understanding? Well, the Son of God has come and given us an understanding that we may know Him, that we may know Him that is true. There's no truth in this world, but God's true, and we're in God that is true, even in His Son, Jesus Christ. Now, this is the true God, and this is life. John says, this is life. When a man has understanding, he has God. When he has God, he has life. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not understanding, has not life. It doesn't matter what kind of beast it is. I've just chosen the word dog. He perishes like a beast, dog or a cat or whatever. Now, the importance of what David is saying here cannot be exaggerated. I don't want to die like a dog. Driving down the highway and you see the carcass of a dog over the side of the road. Well, some little child's lost its pet, or some farmer's lost his sheepdog, or some hunter's lost his beagle hound, but not much else thought is given to it. The dog perishes, the dog's annihilated, the dog's gone. And he said, a man, no matter who he is, no matter how much honor or how much prestige he has in this world, if he doesn't have understanding, he dies like a dog. Understanding the redemptive purpose and glory of God. Understanding. The glory of God in Jesus Christ is the only thing that makes a man different from the beast. Understanding, that one thing, that's what he said. You see, a beast, a dog, lives for today. He has no thought of tomorrow or life after death. A dog, an animal, lives for pleasure right now. His concern and his interest in himself, in the fields, in his doghouse, in keeping warm or cool, getting something to eat, playing with other dogs. The things about him and the world are all he's concerned about. You know anybody like that? Well, men who live in this fashion with no concern for their spiritual well-being, no concern for God, no interest in God and His grace and mercy, no understanding of spiritual things, well, like the dog, he perishes. He lives for the world, he dies with the world. When the world's destroyed, he's destroyed. When his interests are gone, when he's gone, his interests are gone. You see, what David is saying here is actually from the loftiest place, the highest place of fellowship with God, of eternal glory and hope and honor, from that highest place to the uttermost depths of despair and death and corruption is only a matter of understanding. It's understanding. It's a matter of understanding and believing the truth of God. That's the difference. The difference in dying like a man created in the image of God. The difference in dying like the man Christ Jesus. Because in Christ we die with Christ. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. I'm crucified with Christ and seated in Christ. And the difference in dying in the glory of God and the honor of God, and to hear Him say, "Come, ye blessed, into the kingdom prepared for you before the foundation of the world," and dying like a dog on the street, the difference is understanding. You know what He said? A man that is in honor, prestige, power, and understands not is like a dog that dies, a beast that perishes. You see, men who have no worldly honor at all, there are a lot of people, I have no worldly honor at all. And men who have no worldly honor at all, who know God, are higher than the angels. That's right. They're higher than the angels if they know God. They're sons of God. They're accepted in the Beloved. They're seated with Christ in the heavenlies. But men who boast of great wisdom and riches and honor on this earth, whose names are in the paper all the time, seen on television, famous actors and actresses, yet who do not know God, no matter how much acclaim and prestige and power they have now, God says when they die, they're like a beast that perishes. Let not the rich man glory in his riches. Let not the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he knows me and understands me, God said. Jeremiah 23:9-10. Write that down. He knows, he understands. And I'm saying to you, from the loftiest place of eternal wisdom and glory is a step. From the deepest pit of despair and corruption is a matter of understanding. Let's read this psalm. Let me paraphrase it. Psalm 49. That's what verse 20 says. And I start with verse 1. David says, "Hear me, ye people, all of you, all the inhabitants of the earth. Listen to me. Both low and high together, both rich and poor, you listen to me," David said. "My mouth's going to speak wisdom. The thoughts of my heart shall be of understanding, real understanding." I'm going to submit a parable to you in music. "I do not fear to speak the truth in these days of evil," he said. "When men of evil and iniquity surround me, I'm not afraid to speak the truth. I'm going to tell you the truth. Men trust in their wealth and boast themselves of great riches," he says. "But none of them can redeem themselves. None of them can redeem their brothers with all their riches and honor and power and glory and their billions and millions and their so-called wisdom and strength. They can't provide a ransom for sinners. They cannot redeem themselves nor their brothers, for the price of redemption is too costly. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission. He put away sin with the sacrifice of himself. Cost too much to redeem a soul. And he says, all you fellas that trust in your wealth and boast yourself of riches, what'll it get you? You can't save your soul. You can't raise yourself from the grave. You can't take yourself to glory. You can't invade the kingdom of God. It's not for sale. They may talk of heaven, David said, but they can't buy it. For wise men die and fools die too. And they all, wise men and fools, go to the grave. And they leave everything behind them to others. They think that their houses and their names and their memories shall linger. They name buildings after themselves, and they chisel their names in granite and marble stones, and they leave behind trust funds and their names on all kind of things. And they think their names and their houses and their memories are going to linger. But David said, it's not so. It's not so. Even honorable men die and fools die and great men die and nothing remains. They're like beasts that perish. They're laid in the grave like animals. And death and worms feed upon them. And their beauty is consumed in the grave. And that's all it amounts to. But my God shall redeem me. I have a Redeemer. He paid the price. He's able, fully sufficient. He's able to save to the uttermost them that come to God by Him. He's able to present us faultless, holy, unblameable before His throne of glory. He's able to raise our vile bodies and make them like His own. He's able to keep that which I've committed to Him. He's able. My God will redeem me. It's impossible with men, but not with God. All things are possible with God. He shall redeem my soul from the grave, for He shall receive me to Himself. And that's when he writes, a man that is in honor and does not understand this, the redemptive glory of God, is like the dogs that die. Now, I have not exaggerated this in the least. This is exactly what David is saying. A man who does not understand is like a beast that perishes. I say a man that does not know God, believe God, understand the redemptive glory of God and the true riches of God is like a dog that dies on the highway. I'm saying the same thing. A man who dies without an understanding of the true wisdom and true riches and true strength and true glory and true honor, regardless of his station in life, dies like a dog. What is this understanding? Let's look at it more carefully. This understanding, what is it? It's not in me. It's not in any preacher. It's not in any priest. It's not in any organization. It's not in religious tradition. It's not in the form. It's not in the law. This wisdom, this understanding is not in philosophy. It's not in morality. The wisdom of God, now you listen to me, the wisdom of God is in Jesus Christ. If you read Proverbs chapter 8, Christ is called the wisdom of God. And in 1 Corinthians 1, it says, those who believe see in Christ the wisdom and the power of God. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The truth. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. He of God is made unto us wisdom. He has come and given us an understanding. He said, no man knows the Father but the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him. No man has seen God in any time. The Son hath manifested him. And God said on the Mount of Transfiguration, "This is my Son. Hear him. Hear him." So the wisdom and understanding of God comes through Christ. Hear him. You want to know what God says? Then hear his Son. Hear Christ. He is the wisdom of God. He is the understanding. Now I want to give you four or five things that we learn in Christ, that we learn, that this understanding to which we come that separates us from the beast, that enables us, and all men are going to die. You're going to die. I'm going to die. Death is a certainty, just as sure as we're standing here. It's appointed unto men once to die. I want to die in Christ. I want to die in fellowship with God. I want to die with something ahead of me, not everything behind me, with glory awaiting and a hope of life eternally. If a man dies, shall he live again? Well, God says he shall. But here's what I've learned in Christ Jesus. Now listen, here's five things. I'll give them to you briefly. Jot them down if you want to. This is understanding. First of all, in Christ, we learn the purpose of God. The purpose of God. There's no way of knowing the purpose of God apart from Christ. Now listen to this scripture in Ephesians 1. The purpose of God. What's God doing? What's God's grand design in this whole thing? Well, it's wrapped up in Christ. It's revealed in Christ. Now listen, Ephesians 1:9. Having made known unto us the mystery of God's will, according to his own good pleasure, which he purposed in himself. God purposed in himself. That in the dispensation of the fullness of time, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, which are in heaven and on earth, even in Christ, in whom we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. What's God's purpose? If I ask you, now do you have any understanding? Do you have any knowledge of God? God's eternal. Well, back before the world was made or hurled into space, and the sun, the moon, the stars were put in their respective places, before all things, before the morning stars sang together in the eternal counsels of God. What was God's purpose in all this? What did God propose? What did he decree? Well, here it tells us his purpose is in Christ. That in the ages to come, he might gather together on a new earth and in a new heaven all things in Christ. The purpose of God is in Christ. God's eternal purpose is to have a people from Adam's race, every tribe, kindred, nation, tongue under heaven, redeemed by Christ and made like Christ. He predestinated that we should all be conformed to the image of his Son. John 6:37, our Lord said, "All that my Father giveth me will come to me, and him that cometh to me I'll in no wise cast out. This is the will of him that sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I'll lose nothing but raise it up at the last day." God's will, God's purpose, God's grand design in redemption is all fulfilled in Christ Jesus and related to Christ Jesus. Now that's right. I understand this. Christ said, "Other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there'll be one fold, one shepherd." I have some understanding of that, do you? And I discovered it in Christ, in his gospel, in his life and death, in his priestly prayer, in his words. I found out God's purpose is to have a people like Christ, loved in Christ, redeemed in Christ, crucified in Christ, risen in Christ, seated in Christ, and someday resurrected and made like Christ. All right, secondly, this wisdom. Now watch it. In Christ, we have an understanding of the purpose of God. In Christ, we have an understanding of the power of God. The power of God. When our Lord talked about salvation, the disciples said, well, who can be saved? Who can be saved? Who can be lifted from the dunghill? Who can be made like the Son of God? Who can be cleansed from sin? Who can be perfected? Who can ascend into the hill of the Lord? Who can stand in His holy presence? What is man that he should be clean? He that's born of a woman, that he should be before God without sin. And our Lord said, well, with men it's impossible. It's impossible. But with God all things are possible. My friends, I'm weary of hearing of today's impotent God. I'm weary of hearing preachers talk about God wants to do this and God wants to do that and folks just won't let Him. Is anything too hard for God? Men keep preaching that though. God wants to do this and God wants to do that. God will do. God wants to. Let me tell you something. What God wills to do, He'll do. What Almighty God wants to do, He'll do. I hear preachers saying, God's trying to show you this. God doesn't try to show anybody anything. If God sets out to show a man something, he'll learn it. He'll learn it. The Son will quicken whom He will. God said, have I not spoken? Shall I not do it? My counsel shall stand. None can stay my hand or say unto me, what doest thou? God says, I declare the end from the beginning. They said, David, where's your God? He said, our God's in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever He pleased. Whatever the Lord pleased, that did He in heaven, earth, in the seas, in all deep places. The next time you hear a man preaching, talking about God wants to do this and wants to do that, and he's not able, men won't let him, turn your television off. Turn your hearing aid down. He's not talking about the living God. The living God does what He sets out to do. He accomplishes what He wills to accomplish. And nothing's too hard for God. Nothing's too hard for God. And I see that in Christ. The Son quickeneth whom He will. Matthew, follow me. Zacchaeus, come down. Lazarus, come forth. You ever known Jesus Christ to attempt to do anything that He didn't do? Study His life. Whatsoever the Lord pleased, that did He. In heaven, earth, seas, and all deep places. All right, thirdly, this is understanding. A man who dies without understanding dies like a dog. In Christ, we understand the providence of God. The providence of God. God's the first cause of all things. And we know that all things work together for good to them who love God, who are the called according to His purpose. Nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ. When God determined to bless Abraham, He called him and blessed him. When God determined to put Joseph on the throne in Egypt, He put him on the throne in Egypt. He worked all providential dealings in the life of Joseph to bring him to the throne. When God chose His disciples, He called them. And all things in heaven and earth, all things good and bad, all things past, present, and future, work together for the eternal good of His people who are called in Christ Jesus. That's true. Hannah understood this. She said, the Lord kills and the Lord makes alive. The Lord maketh poor, the Lord maketh rich, the Lord lifteth up, the Lord bringeth down, the Lord exalteth the beggar from the dunghill and makes him sit among princes. Job understood this. He said, the Lord gave and the Lord taken away. Praise the Lord. Eli understood this. Samuel said, God's going to kill your two sons. He said, well, it's the Lord. Let Him do what He will. Paul understood this. I am what I am by the grace of God. You understand? Do you understand it? You can't change God by wishing. You can't change God by your theological patterns. You can't change God by your feelings. God is God. Let God be true. And to understand God is a knowledge of Christ Jesus, His divine providence. In Christ, I understand the presence of God. No man knoweth the Father but the Son, he to whom the Son will reveal Him. You see, he was in the world. Who was in the world? God was in the world. He was in the world in the person of Jesus Christ. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And the disciples said, "Show us the Father." He said, "You're looking at him. He that has seen me has seen the Father." God came to earth. God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. And to know the presence of God is to know Christ. And a man who does not have Christ knows nothing of the presence of God. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. He that believeth on the Son of God hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son of God, the wrath of God abideth on him. Not the presence of God, not the love of God, not the mercy of God, the wrath of God. God's love's in Christ. And I promise you that. And that's true. God's love's in Christ. That's understanding the presence of God. Anything else is presumption. It's fool's presumption too. Because he plainly says, "He that hath the Son hath the Father, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not the Father." My Father and I will come and take up our abode with him. In Christ, fifthly, we understand the promises of God. My friends, listen to me now. All the promises of God are in Christ Jesus. Now that's so, 2 Corinthians 1:20. "For all the promises of God are in Christ." That's what it says right there. "And they're yes, and in him, amen, to the glory of God." There's not a promise outside of Christ for anybody. For anybody. There's a promise of forgiveness in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of our sins. There's a promise of justification, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through Jesus Christ. There's a promise of eternal life. God hath given us life, and this life's in his Son. There's a promise of resurrection, because I live, you'll live. There's a promise of hope, Christ in you, the hope of glory. There's a promise of peace. He made peace through the blood of his cross. There's a promise of rest, come unto me and I'll give you rest. There's a promise of his presence. Lo, I'm with you always. Shall I die like a dog or a man? You want this tape? $2. Here's the address. Till next week, God bless you.